Hello, and welcome to episode 1 of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. I am your host, JP, known affectionately, or not, online as Japes in Japesland. I am extremely excited to have the opportunity to not only begin our first official podcast, but to kick it off with a bang. That said, I'm pleased to have with me co-hosting today our very own Beneath the Tangles founder and editor, Charles, or TWWK.
Thanks, JP. I'm very excited to be here also, and welcome to everyone who's listening to us.
Thanks, Charles. Now, one of our goals here, both at BeneathTheTangles.com and, by extension, The Tangles Podcast, is to encourage the interaction of all kinds of people, particularly within, though not limited to, those within the online otaku community and blogosphere, if you will. This means that we'll be making a point of featuring different guests here on The Tangles every month in order to facilitate that goal. Now, all that goes to say, I'm absolutely thrilled to have with us our very first guest, founder of otakujournalist.com and friend to Beneath the Tangles, Lauren Orsini. Is that how you pronounce that? I'm sorry.
No, that's definitely okay. It. Great job.
All right, so at this point, we normally begin our time with a brief introduction of our co-host and guest, which we'll get to. But then, since this is our pilot episode, I'm going to be selfish for a moment and just spend a moment on kind of my own bio. So as I mentioned previously, my name is JP, though if you follow my writing or YouTube channel, you probably know me as Japes or Japesland. That's pretty much my alias on all of my online accounts. Offline, I am currently an international business student at Liberty University, my sights set on Japan and just about every facet of the imagination. I consider myself Christian, though I prefer the term follower of Christ due to many of the negative connotations with the term Christian, which we may or may not get to into the future. My free time is usually covered by my writing at Beneath the Tangles, saxophone transcriptions on YouTube, and general otaku-related hobbies, namely watching anime and reading visual novels, the occasional video game or light novel stuck in the middle. Of course, most otaku know the pain of having too many things to do and not enough time. Now, with that out of the way, since you'll be hearing a lot from me in the future, would you be willing to share just a little bit about yourself as our co-host, Charles? What defines you most, offline and online?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly online, most people probably know me from the blog. I just stumbled upon my notifications yesterday and discovered that Beneath the Tangles has been around for 4 years as of last week. So I did not expect it to last more than 6 months. So I'm very glad that we've lasted so long. But I guess that's how most people know me offline. Offline, I am a father of two kids, a four-year-old daughter and a six-year-old son. I'm a husband of one wife, and I'm a humble state employee, and like yourself, JP, I'm also a Christian.
Well, thanks, Charles. Thanks for that background. So now I'd like to extend that same question to you, Lauren. So would you care to share just a bit about yourself for our listeners?
Sure. Well, I'm Lauren. I'm a professional journalist, and I blog at otakujournalist.com, where I talk about my interest in reporting, my interest in anime, and my interest in reporting about anime. In fact, I just wrote a book this year called Otaku Journalism, which is like a really geeky guide to the kind of reporting I do.
Awesome. And we'll be definitely getting into that later in the podcast. So now, seeing as The Tangles is a podcast devoted to exploring specifically Christian spirituality as well as otaku culture, would you be willing to share just for a few minutes some of your personal religious beliefs?
Sure thing. Well, I grew up, I was raised Catholic and Jewish by my parents, but today I don't really consider myself a religious person, though I do find religion very interesting. Like, for example, I think it is just incredible that belief is such a powerful thing that the simple act of faith in a higher being is scientifically proven to help people live longer. It's clear that many, many aspects of human life go right back to God. Like, I enjoy reading Charles's blog. Well, I enjoy reading Beneath the Tangles because I'm fascinated that anime continues to reference religion over and over again, and it's not a coincidence. Whether you identify it with it or not, religion makes up a huge part of everything we consume.
Absolutely. And that's the reason that we're able to exist as Beneath the Tangles and the Tangles. It's
I'm sorry, JB, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll also mention that, you know, you introduced Lauren by saying she was a friend of our blog, and you may not know this actually, JP, but when we first started, I asked, I guess about maybe 24 bloggers to discuss a little bit about their own religious beliefs and how it, you know, kind of crosses over into anime. And Lauren was the first person to do that for us. So, Lauren, you're doing a lot of firsts for our blog, so thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. I forgot that I was the very first.
You were.
Yeah, I absolutely did not realize that either. I mean, I've only been technically on staff, I guess, if you even want to say on staff, with Beneath the Tangles for probably about a year, not quite, going on close to a year now. So it's interesting kind of looking back over the past few years. You said Beneath the Tangles has now existed for about 4 years. And looking at some of those series that you put up years ago, that's always been one that I've liked to look back at. What did you call that series again when you had those testimonies?
Maybe any blogger testimonies.
Something that sounds about right.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, we're, you know, Lauren, we're both getting a little old now. I'm thinking about this.
I know.
These happened 3 or 4 years ago. You're married now. You're in your late 20s. I hope that's not too.
No, it's okay.
I'm in my 30s, so we're all getting pretty old up here.
Hey. I'm not included in that statement.
I think I wrote about my boyfriend in my Anna Blogger testimony. My boyfriend, who is now my husband.
My goodness. Belated congratulations. So you all have been married for almost 2 years?
No, over a year, but I wouldn't say almost 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
Thanks.
Well, it's really cool, and one thing I've always pointed out to people that are interested in Beneath the Tangles in some respect at all is I often point them back to that Anna Blogger testimonies portion of the website that you created a while back, just pointing out how you made a specific point not just to get Christian testimonies, but to get the testimonies of people of all kinds of different beliefs. Which is, I think, a necessity when you're discussing any religion at all. In order to have an unbiased view, you have to see all the perspectives of different people.
Well, definitely. We try to, you know, that's one of the goals of our site, is to engage people of all faiths or none at all, you know, to join us and talk about anime and spirituality.
Yeah, I've always felt that the site's been really welcoming, even though I don't have, like, a cut-and-dry religious belief.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's excellent to hear. So we're going to be moving on now to our updates and announcements segment. Beneath the Tangles is always expanding and moving forward, and so to give some more information on that, I'm going to hand this over to Charles.
Thank you, JP. I'll be pretty quick about this. The biggest thing that is the biggest update we have is this podcast itself, of course, but we have a few other items we brought up in recent months, and one is that we have a recommendations page now. That gives anime recommendations, anime movie recommendations, and some others for specifically for Christians. And we also have some consistent columns on our website or on our blog for the first time, including JP's column Anime Today. So be on the lookout for that as well. And that's all I have for our updates. And I guess we can move on to the next segment with that said, and that's Otaku Diet. And I'll just kind of talk a little bit about this segment since everything is brand new here. JP came up with the title Otaku Diet because we're not just talking about anime. Yeah, we're feasting on all sorts of things, as JP alluded to in the opener. You know, it's not usually just anime. It's manga or visual novels or gaming, and in Lauren's case, I don't know if she'll bring this up later, but even doujinshi. So there's a lot of things that we could be looking into. JP, I'll let you go ahead and go first and talk a little bit about what you're consuming these days.
Otaku Diet.
Well, like Charles said, yeah, we're trying to purposefully include all kinds of different media in this, because if you look at, I guess you can't really look at a podcast now, listen to a video game podcast, they always have a what we're playing section. You listen to music podcast, what we're listening to. And in this case, there's just far too much different media. It's hard to nail down what we actually want to focus on. While Beneath Tangles is usually anime, there's so much more out there. And so, moving on to personally what I'm consuming, if you want to use that word, dieting on, is probably the biggest piece I'm working on is the Fates Day Night Reel to Nua fan translation was recently released, which is very exciting. As much as I love visual novels, which you'll get from me if you read any of my articles regarding that and you check out our visual novel recommendations page, the vast majority of the visual novel scene in Japan is hentai, or essentially pornography. Thankfully, there are a lot of visual novels that have gotten all-ages ports, and Reel to Nua is an example of this. It's essentially what got released for consoles and later, or earlier for PC. I don't know what the timeline is for that. So, long story short, I'm kind of rambling here. The English translation of Reel to Nua was finally released, and I've been very excited because I've been very intrigued by the Fates Day Night series. Very disappointed by the anime, but very interested as to what the original writer had intended with that story. So I'm not yet through the first route, which is Fate. There's still Unlimited Blade Works and Heaven's Feel to go. I am heavily enjoying it, and I'm nearing the end, but we'll see where it goes from here. Besides that, I'm not going to get too far into what I'm watching because the list is ever-growing. I always start with about, like, 6 anime or so, and then by the end of the season, I'm watching, like, 12 or 16, or last season, I was, like, watching 18, I think. I think my favorite, thanks to Charles, I did pick up Terror and Resonance, so thank you there. Unfortunately, not on Crunchyroll, which has been the most convenient and legal way for me to get my anime. So I finally broke down and went to Funimation's actual website and streamed it there. I'm still an episode behind, so don't spoil anything for me yet, Charles. I actually was, I think, did you make a post on your Tumblr and on Beneath the Tangles about the latest episode?
I reblogged my Beneath the Tangles post, yeah, on Tumblr, and it's I won't ruin it for you, but it is a very good episode.
Okay, well, I look forward to it, and I'm glad I didn't read it by accident.
That's okay. I don't read any of your articles either, Jason. Oh, so.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, there's always a bazillion things otaku-related going on in my life, but it would take far too long, and far too few people would be interested. I already rambled on long enough on Fates Day Night. It's something that didn't even matter, so I'm going to go ahead and hand this off to Charles.
All right. I am not a gamer, and I'm not really a visual novel type of guy, so most of my stuff is that I'm looking into is either manga or anime. And with manga, I usually kind of do marathons, and I'm not marathoning anything right now. So I'm just watching a few series. JP already brought up Terror and Resonance. That's my favorite series this season. It's tremendous. JP and I are both liking Blue Spring Ride.
Yeah, although, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, although, same here.
Are you really? Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll be unpopular among the group, then I'll mention that I don't like it nearly as much as I did at first.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, as an adult who is married, I guess, I feel like they just keep going in circles around the very first step of their relationship, admitting that they like each other. I mean, now that I'm grown up, I really like more nuanced romances. Like, if you've seen the... I think they might turn this into an anime. It's a manga called Happy Marriage. And, It's this this woman who has to marry a guy, like, to keep up appearances. But the whole time, they're getting to know each other. And at first, there is some of that. Do I like him? Do I not like him? But eventually, their relationship progresses, and they learn to trust each other. And they deal with the same things that I can relate to in my own relationship, like jealousy and sharing and identity.
Again, I think we're getting too old, Lauren.
Oh my goodness!
You know, so, you know, Blue Spring Ride. I've been writing a post after every episode, and it feels like every single post is a little bit repetitive. It's like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? And then my ultimate conclusion is, oh, they're teenagers. So yeah, uh-huh. I've done that. So yeah, but that sounds like an interesting series. I'll be looking forward to that. Let's see what else. I'm watching Aldenoa Zero, which has been pretty good.
Yeah.
And not for you? Oh, you don't like the characters, am I right?
No.
There's not a fleshing out?
I'm just disappointed, because it was my anime of the season, and then...
I agree.
And then the writer left, and now it's just kind of blah.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I am enjoying it.
I'm still enjoying it. I'm just disappointed because it seems like it's going to be kind of like your maybe slightly above average mecha instead of your Madoka or Fate Zero that the writer was previously responsible for.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there, probably. I'm watching Sword Art Online 2, which I'm liking a lot more than the previous core, I guess the previous 13 episodes.
I've heard that it's a lot better.
Oh, it's, well, okay, so for me, I liked the first core, you know, it was practically a 10 in my book. I really enjoyed it. The second one was like a 2. You know, it was just a major drop in quality for me and all sorts of, there's so many issues with it. But this one is kind of maybe in between. It's definitely an improvement. A major one, probably, I would say. Today I was catching up on the new season of Free, which has been all right. Free is kind of a mediocre show, and so it's kind of a mediocre season, but that's okay. I'm enjoying it nonetheless. That's all I'm watching right now.
We'll just agree to disagree about Free.
Oh. Well, are you watching it, Lauren?
Of course I am.
All right. Well, I'll segue to you then. What are you watching? Free and whatever else.
Okay. I'm watching so many things right now, and since this podcast goes up after Tuesday, I can explain why I just watched 15 episodes of anime in 2 days. That's what I just did. Okay, so I just got a position at Anime News Network, and I'll be doing weekly streaming reviews for 3 different shows. There'll be a lot of us. I mean, this is... our listeners are in the future, so they know this, that there are 10 of us doing these streaming reviews. And I have 2 of the shows I was assigned, I've never seen, so I had to catch up with them. And those
were... congratulations, Lauren, first of all.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, a little applause. Is my microphone picking that up?
It is.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things I am reviewing is Free. So sorry, Charles. I get the last word on whether that's good or not. And the other 2 that I'm reviewing are Bakumatsu Rock. On Crunchyroll, it's called Samurai Jam Bakumatsu Rock.
Are you watching that one, JP?
I am not, but I feel like maybe I'm confusing with something else. I think that Kaze is, but now I'm questioning myself here because he watches quite a lot as well.
I don't think a lot of people are watching it. It had a pretty mediocre first episode, and I'm sure a lot of people dropped.
All right, I'm fairly certain I'm confusing it with something else then.
And then the other one is Nobunaga Concerto. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person on Earth watching this show.
Don't worry, I've felt the same. People often ask me why I'm watching so many current running anime at once, and my excuse is always, oh, well, I'm a writer for a blog, mm-hmm. and I run a column about current running anime, which is true, but...
I feel like I'm a coffee filter. No, what's even grosser than a coffee filter? That is me for my friends and my family. Because I remember I just showed Daily Lives of High School Boys to my husband. And he's like, this is amazing. Why didn't I know about this? I'm like, because I watched like everything that was airing that season. And this was the one thing that I remember being good. And, like, we're the ones who watch everything. And,
that's a really good point. You know, my wife is actually a room over right now watching Fruits Basket, and I am just like so proud because she doesn't want anything to do with anime, but I've slowly exposed her to good shows, and now she found Fruits Basket on her own for the first, first anime she found on her own. So I'm just like, yes, go with it. And she's to the point now where she won't wait for me to watch it with her. You know, she's just watching it. So yeah, we are the filters, and we are. We're anime evangelists, if we're going to use some spiritual terms, I guess. So, yeah, I like that. I like we're at that point of life, Lauren.
Wow, man, it's funny that you're saying this, because I honestly had not thought about that until just now, but I had, whenever I go home for the summers between university semesters, I kind of, like, retreat into my solitary otaku shell for a few months, because most of my friends are here at school. But I have a couple high school friends I still stay up with, and one of them we just somehow, some way or another, started getting together. And then randomly, he came over when I was watching Nichijou for like the third time or fourth time or something.
That is a good one. That's another one.
Well, he got hooked. I was watching with another friend, and we were on like episode, I don't even know, 15, 20. I mean, towards the end. And he just watched that one with us. And then he came over like next week, and I was like, oh, we're going to be watching another couple episodes. I hope you don't mind. He's like, oh, I already caught up. And since then, he's watched through like 3, 4, I don't even know how many anime during the summer, and he's watching several current running ones. Now to the point, like, this guy, I'm not sure if he had ever seen an anime before this past summer, or definitely not an entire series. And now he's already like, we're talking about Blue Spring Ride. I'm like, what the heck? You're watching this show? Like, when did this happen?
Conversion. It's very nice.
Yeah. It's interesting that we're all having that experience.
You secretly made him an otaku, and now he can never stop.
And if you are listening to this, you know who you are. I apologize.
So I talked about like the shows I'm watching, and honestly, I haven't really had time for anything else, like games or anything, but I will mention the doujinshi really quickly. I mean, mm-hmm. our listeners are familiar with doujinshi. They're not usually something you want to talk about on a on a podcast with a Christian sensibility. And I mean, this one, I'm taking Japanese. I've taken like 15, 20 weeks of Japanese now. And so I bought some doujinshi at Otakon from the guy in the yaoi booth, actually, who's like yelling, "Get your yaoi!" It was really embarrassing. So, like, so I mean,
right here.
I mean, even though this is G-rated, I mean, it's not like in-depth literature. It's trash. Mm-hmm. And but because of that, because it was just so simple and so stupid and so trashy, it was very easy to keep my attention and translate the whole thing. And I wanted to put it online, but I contacted the doujinshi artist, and she's like, absolutely not. Like, in no uncertain terms. So, I guess, like, if someone wants to read it, I can just show them in person. Well, here, they're saying this. I don't know.
Contact Lauren Rossini for all your doujinshi translations.
In influx of emails.
Very nice. All right. Are you watching or reading anything else, Lauren?
I mean, I'm watching a bunch of anime. Let's just not talk about it.
All right. Well, I'll give it back to you, JP.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the next section of today's episode. At this point, we're going to focus a discussion on a recent article. Normally, we'd be focusing on either beneaththetangles.com or our guest's blog website, which is the case today. We will be moving on to an article that she fairly recently featured on her website, otakujournalist.com. But before we move on to that, you mentioned that you had a book. Would you like to share some more on that, Lauren?
The book. My book is called Otaku Journalism, and really it's a book for geeks who want to learn how to report on geeky stuff, like how to come up with story ideas at an anime convention, how to interview voice actors without feeling like an idiot, how to make your own website or blog to post your own writings about fandom, like instead of waiting for someone to hire you so you can do that. And I wrote the book because I got a lot of emails from college students who are aspiring journalists, and they'd always be like, hey, Lauren, how did you end up doing what you do? And I would write these really long emails, and I realized, actually, it'd be so much easier to be like, I've written an entire book full of all my strategies and secrets about how I got here. So just pick that up if you want to know. And I mean, I still offer free advice to people when they email me, but all really the best of what I have to say is in the book.
And it is, it's only $5.99, I think, right, on Amazon. So it is not too expensive for, I don't think, anyone who wants to pick it up. I probably could have used it before I did an interview last year with a voice actor at a convention, so I should be picking it up anyway. Well, thanks for sharing that. That leads me to another question for you, Lauren. I read on your site that at Otakon this year, You were part of a panel, right?
I was.
And did you talk a little bit about your book, or will you talk a little bit about the panel in general, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Well, when I was at Otakon, I appeared on Mike Toole. You know Mike Toole from the Mike Toole Show on Anime News Network? Yeah, I appeared on his panel writing about anime for Fun and Profit. And, like, it was very last minute. He didn't know I was going to be at Otakon until I tweeted something about it. He's like, "You're at Otakon? Want to be on my panel? It's in an hour." And I said, "Okay." So it was me, Mike, and Evan from he's from Anna Gamers, right? And then someone who writes for who used to write for Colony Drop and sometimes writes for Otaku USA. Well, what was interesting is at one time or another, all of us on the panel have written for Otaku USA at some point.
So what was some of the advice you gave to the audience?
Well, we talked a lot about doing reviews, and Mike talked about, like, doing these lengthy reviews, and then I offered, like, the minority opinion, like, hey, wait a minute, maybe you want to do, like, shorter reviews to get right to the point, because unlike Mike Toole, nobody really knows me yet. I don't know, like, people don't come to my column, the Lauren Orsini Show, to see, hey, I wonder what Lauren thought of the latest episode of Free. So I try to think of like a main idea, like some kind of core point of the show that kind of you can wrap everything else around, and that helps me write a much shorter review that's still very rich in content. Well, very, very rich in value for readers. Like, I just reviewed Mushishi on my blog, like, a few weeks ago, but I talked about how, like, Mushishi is kind of like a doctor who works with people with mental illnesses, where the Mushi, the ghosts in this anime that seem to inhabit people sometimes, seem to mimic neuroses. And so I just kind of, like, went with this kind of crazy theory. And it just helped me get a show that's like 25 episodes and do something really concise in about 400 words.
You know, I think that's a really good point. I think a lot of people maybe write lengthier reviews because they have trouble creating a shorter review, you know, something that's succinct and to the point. When I used to, in my previous position, I was a historian for the state, and we had to write these, we had to take like 30-page narratives and basically shrink them down into one paragraph. And it was really difficult, you know, like, oh, it's so much harder to just write this short, you know, piece, this short work instead of this longer work where I can include everything I want to. You know, you have to focus a lot more sometimes, right, and something shorter. But you end up with something that maybe is better than something that rambles on and on.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier for people. Like, no, actually, funny story about my new position at Anime News Network is I wrote to Zach. You know Zach, who's like kind of in charge, and I said, "Okay, here are my reviews. They're each 450 words." He's like, "Wait a second, they are 450 words. What did you even try?" No, he didn't say that. But then I'm like, "Okay, fine, look at them." And he's like, "Oh, they're just like really concise." And I'm like, "Well, they were really long when I was writing them, but I tried to like cut them down so I wasn't rambling and people didn't have to sit through all that."
You know, there's a place. There's definitely a place for that because, you know, in my evolution as an otaku, when I first started getting an anime, I would always go to Anime News Network and read the reviews, and I like lengthy reviews, you know, because I was so into anime. But at this point in my life, I don't have time. I just want to get the essential information. But what did you think of it? But I also want to get it from someone who I can trust. You know, I need a succinct, good review. You know, so there's an audience out there, I think, for that, and I'm glad that you're crafting your reviews in that way.
Yeah, that I'm often, or I try to remind myself whenever I'm writing for Anime Today, which is my column on Beneath the Tangles, that, well, I can tell whenever an article I write is actually something that's good quality and when it's not. Like, as soon as I'm done, I can tell, like, okay, well, at least I have an article up for this week, or, hey, that was actually better than I was expecting it to be. But, I mean, for as much as I dislike reading my own writing when I'm done, I have to think of other people, and sometimes I can tend to ramble on in those articles, and for as much as I would dislike to read that, someone who doesn't even know me nor care about my opinion, because I'm quite frankly, who even knows who I am?
I think it's possible to build up an audience where people really care about your opinion, like with Mike Toole. But I think when you're just getting started, you need to master writing a concise review.
Yes, absolutely. I agree completely with you.
JP, let me give you a piece of advice. Go buy a Taco Journalism. I think you'll have all your questions answered. It's available on Amazon.
Well, I was going to say, where could I find this amazing book?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but that's really interesting. What about what else? What about since we didn't sit in on the panel, was there anything that you personally learned from Mike Toole's panel that might be interesting to our listeners?
Well, I wanted to talk about something else we discussed at the panel, which was about when to write for free. Really, I mean, this was called writing about anime for fun and profit. The idea is that you do want to make a profit. I mean, you want to get paid for your work. But personally, I started out writing for free because what am I going to show people? So some of the places I wrote for free were my blog, Otaku Journalist, which is 5 this November. 5.
Congratulations.
Wow. That's so stupid old. I also wrote for Japanator. I was not paid at Japanator at all. I was an intern at Kotaku. I got a college credit at Kotaku, but these are all places I didn't get paid. And then, I mean, as time went on, I realized, no, people started to offer me money. And that's when I knew, okay, my writing is now worth something. It wasn't worth something before when I had zero experience. But now I've practiced, people are starting to notice it. And I should be... I should be requesting my full worth. But I think a lot of people get stuck there at that point where they don't know when to stop writing for free. It's a lot easier to start writing for free than it is to stop. Hmm. And at one point, you need to just raise your rates from 0 to, whatever.
That's interesting. Not something that I had personally thought of. Well, I know. And as it stands right now, Beneath the Tangles is a slightly different beast from, I guess, your average anime blog. From the Christian sense, it's kind of treated as a ministry, so it's pretty much volunteer-based. Like, I don't know
Okay. I mean, that's totally different. Because, okay, if you were working for free and your boss is making a profit, then it's like, maybe something's wrong here. And that's how it was, like, at Japanator. But, If you're like, I mean, it's fine for Beneath the Tangle. I mean, you're getting something else out of it than money, too. I mean, you have to think about what you're getting from writing about anime.
I think there are a lot of bloggers out there who are writing about anime consistently and often, and a lot of them want to go into writing in some form or fashion. I think maybe there's a kind of a question about what's the next step. What do? They're writing on their blog, but they haven't moved on to something that might eventually lead to a profession. If you're an anime blogger out there, or anyone who's interested in writing, what's the next step you take after you've kind of been writing a lot, developing your skill on your own personal website?
You start pitching editors. You start coming up with ideas and pitching them. And yes, there's a whole chapter of this in my book. So, like, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I mean, this is something I know a lot about.
This is why,
trust
you,
me.
Why you buy the book.
this is why I wrote it, because I'm like, I don't always remember all this stuff. But I mean, you start writing to places that you enjoy reading. Like, I don't know. We made a list during the panel of places that pay, like Otaku USA, Anime News Network. The Daily Dot covers a lot of anime stuff now. Topless Robot. Not as dirty as it sounds. They cover.
I would religiously follow them at one point in time, so it's fairly clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the joke is it's a robot. Okay, but so you could start pitching these places. A lot of them are very welcoming to pitches. I think The Escapist might be another good one, too. Just the places you like to read and be like, hey, your site is great. You know what would be awesome? An in-depth reporting piece on the way Brony fandom is totally changing. I don't think anyone cares about Brony fandom anymore, but okay. I just upset a billion people, probably.
They're not listening to our podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll have to see what our demographic is here.
I mean, I guess we'll find out. I mean, I was just watching My Little Pony last weekend, but I wouldn't say that makes me a Brony. I don't know. But you start pitching. Sister. Or you find a way to make your blog make money. I use Amazon affiliate links on Otaku Journalists, and I mean, I don't make much yet, but I can pay my rent about once a year.
You know, one thing I appreciate about you, Lauren, also is that you develop other skills. Like, for instance, I mean, just you mentioned you're taking Japanese class, but you also are adept at, you know, blog building, you know, the technical aspects. You've taught classes about that, have you not?
Yeah, I just taught a WordPress blog building boot camp this summer, and I've taught college classes on just internet skills for journalism students. And I mean, I don't like to advertise that I do freelance blog building, because it's not really like the number one thing I want to get paid to do. I just kind of do it when people are like, please.
Very good.
I don't know.
I'll bring up a personal story of mine because I want to ask you another question. I occasionally think about, oh, maybe I can get paid for my writing. At one point in time, I think I passed an article by you, Lauren, to proofread a year or two back. I pitched an idea to an evangelical Christian website. And they said, hey, this looks great. And they paid me. And then their editor changed. And the new editor said, not our thing. So I was crushed.
Uh-huh.
What do you do to kind of move on past that rejection? You know, when you submitted a piece and someone says, no, I don't think so.
Well, I get rejected like 75% of the time. I mean, way more often than I get accepted. I mean, my favorite story is when I wrote for CNN, because that's like one of the biggest places I've written, and people are like, oh, you wrote for CNN? I'm like, yeah, about Homestuck. So what I did was for 10 weeks, because somebody gave me the CNN lifestyle editor's email, and so I said, hey there, so great to hear from you. I hadn't heard from her. CNN's so great. Here's three articles I would love to write for CNN, and then I'd write three. Did not hear back. Next week, hey, here's three more ideas. And then, like, kind of in the middle there, I would send, like, just one idea or two. And then finally, 10th week, I, like, this was pretty much like an exercise of futility. I'm like, you know, Homestuck's pretty big. And she's like, yeah, that sounds great. When can you deliver? In it, like within hours of me sending the email, after 10 weeks.
Wow.
So, I mean, half of like freelance writing is selling yourself, and you start to like relate yourself to your writing, which is not true. You are way more than your writing, and you just have to move beyond that and be like, I am not what this editor thinks of me. I just have to keep applying different places. Like when I first went out freelance in December 2012, I just made a list of 30 places I'd like to write, and I wrote to all of them. And I think two of them were like, sure. And yeah.
Well, it sounds to me from the way you've been speaking about your experiences, a lot of that is just a matter of dedication. I mean, being confident, self-confidence, and then also the dedication, knowing that especially maybe an aspiring writer is listening to this podcast right now and is hearing this, you speaking, didn't realize just the huge percentage of failures you have to go through to make a success, usually. I think often that gets forgotten, and the dedication that you need to push through all those failures to get the successes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm going to change topic a little bit here. You know, we started talking about Otakon a little bit. I kind of want to return back to that and ask you what else you did while you were at the convention this year, Lauren.
I met up with friends I like only get to see at conventions. Like, I don't want to just name drop people. Just like a bunch of other anime bloggers, because if I name drop, I'll forget somebody and then right. feel bad.
They'll blog about you,
and they'll sub blog about me. Yeah, so I met up with other bloggers, and I bought an amazing book in the dealer's room that is a catalog of every Gundam model ever made. It's fantastic. I really like Gundams, and yeah, so there was shopping, and there was just seeing people. It was a very short Otakon for me. I was there for 24 hours total because my grandmother's birthday and my grandmother-in-law's birthday were within that weekend. Yeah, but you know, Otakon is always a wonderful time. It's the biggest one we have around here, so where I'm from, here in Washington, D.C.
East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know Charles is in Texas, and JP, where are you?
Well, at the moment, Virginia.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wait, where in Virginia?
Lynchburg.
No way! Wait, that's not Virginia Tech. I don't know where Lynchburg is.
No.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know my Virginia geography very well, seeing as I don't have a car, so most of my necessary geography is my room to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. College.
It's true.
Remember when we were in college, Charles? Oh, wait, we don't, because we're old.
No, I don't remember anymore. It's been too long. Uh-huh. I actually work down the street from UT Austin, where I went to school, so I'm reminded every day of how old I am. And I go there pretty often. I meet up with college students and try to minister to them, people from my church, and I get lunch over there. So, and I go there and I think, man, I would love to work here. But then again, I'm just reminded about how old I am and so forth. But we say this, but you know, I wonder what's going to happen with our whole generation of otaku, right? You know, I guess there's some people out there that are in their 40s now, right? That are pretty well known among the otaku community, right? Mm-hmm. We're aging, and we're still watching, you know, cartoons, you know, and mm-hmm. I wonder how this culture is going to continue to develop and how we're going to interact with the younger folk and with our own kids. You know, I'm starting to introduce my kids to anime a little bit. We're doing some, they love Totoro. I've shown them Ponyo. So basically just Studio Ghibli so far. Mm-hmm. I want to keep them away from, you know, Cowboy Bebop or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an interesting dynamic with what's happening here, you know, and how there's this aging otaku population. Even a couple of generations here. How old are you, JP? You're 20?
That's correct. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I was already almost in high school when you were born. So.
Oh. that's weird.
I don't know. I'm 7 years older than you. I don't know what that means.
You're so old.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been looking at the statistics for local conventions, like Otakon and Anime USA. When I say local conventions, I mean around the DC area. Oh, and also Anime Boston. I just go. And the demographics are pretty young. They're skewing very young and very female. I mean, I think it's really awesome. 20 years from now, it'll just be a bunch of ladies charge the anime fandom.
Elderly cosplayers.
And all of us elderly cosplayers dressed as Misty. But geriatric. Okay.
Well, my very quick rabbit trail is when I attended what was it? Ichiban-kan, which I honestly don't even remember where it was. Someone else was driving, so I just kind of like zoned out until we got there. There was an older lady. I don't know how old she was, but at least middle-aged. And she was cosplaying, as an older lady. She was cosplaying as Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle.
That's fantastic. I think I've seen that on Tumblr.
I was like, that's so cool.
Yes, I've seen it also. That's very good.
And I love the older woman who cosplays as, you know, the generic anime mom. She holds a sign that says, "Have you seen my son?" And it's a picture of Aaron and
she's got
and
the ponytail,
Al.
Right?
Yeah, and the ponytail. Yeah. And Shinji.
Oh, yes. Let me ask you all, have any of you all cosplayed before?
Yeah, when I was in college.
Yeah, when I was in college. yeah, I have...
You're cosplaying right now, right?
I think my cosplay days are behind me. no. Well, actually, possibly. I have cosplayed Kaito. I have a naturally tall, slim build, which I... At first, thought was like, well, Japanese people are not tall and slim, so this is going to suck. But then I realized that anime characters do not look like Japanese people at all. So I have cosplayed Kaito. The only place you will find that is if I have a music video of me on my YouTube channel playing a Kaito song on soprano saxophone in cosplay.
You need to link your YouTube to this podcast. that is an order.
Well, it is probably the cheesiest thing you will see all week. But it is a Kaito cosplayer playing a Kaito song on soprano saxophone. If you're interested, it's youtube.com/japesland. It's at least as of recording the podcast, and it has been for like the last year, been my featured channel video that hasn't really helped to get any more hits. Like, it's still one of my least popular videos, I think, but it's out there. My only other cosplay, and the only one that I would probably consider doing regularly again, is Washi, or the communicator from Hibane Renmei.
Uh-huh.
And actually, Lauren, you were at Otakon 2013, right? I think I remember reading that. Yeah. I can't remember which day I was there. I was there for one day, Otakon 2013, just wandering around for a few hours. You might have seen me, I don't know, we might not have been there around the same time. The reason, though, that I like that one more is, well, first of all, I really, really like Hibane Renmei. Probably my top 10, as far as anime go. And even, well, Charles and I have worked on some Bible study curriculum based on it, which is interesting in and of itself. But
that is amazing. That is really cool. I just recently found out that a psychologist is using Welcome to the NHK, like, with boys who are having trouble finding jobs after college and, like, living with their parents and they don't know what to do. I mean, it's amazing how anime can help us.
It is very true. I'm going to try to not get off topic too much.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. Despite all of those, like, those lofty reasons for liking that cosplay, the main thing I like about it is it has a mask. So nobody sees my face. So, like, I'm super embarrassed, like, not to say cosplay is embarrassing as much as I, like, I'm embarrassed
performance
to be
the... can be embarrassing.
Yeah, to be the center of attention. So I really love having the mask. And then also, very few people actually are familiar with Hibane Renmei. So I've basically constructed a character where when I am Washi, Washi is silent. Like, you can be talking right to him, and he will not say a word back to you. That is not the correct character, but that is the one that I created by accident. Because it's just, like, Otakon, and I even wore it on campus here one time. Which is funny, because Christian campus, people were very confused. And people would talk to me, and then they'd just be like, oh, I guess his character never talks. I'm like, well, not really, but I guess I've kind of created that for myself. Anyway, long story short, yes, I have cosplayed Charles.
The thing that keeps me from cosplaying is not the embarrassment, but the cost. No? It's just, I feel like I'm dropping too much money on a costume. I'm not into it. You know, people who are into cosplay, I can understand how... It's, you know, it's a hobby. It's something that's worth putting money into. But having never done it, to me, it feels like I'm losing money if I do it. Lauren, what did you cosplay as back in college?
Mako from Nerima Daikon Brothers, which is my favorite anime that no one really likes. It's a musical. Mm-hmm. it's just kind of wacky.
It's
kind of cheap and weird. It's very low budget. I like how anime is cheap and weird, and this is like my favorite example of cheap weird anime. Like Michael Jackson is a main character. So is the Prime Minister of Japan. It's pretty wacky. So I was Mako, and I was with... We had an entire Nerima Daikon Brothers group with Nabashin, complete with Nabashin.
Nabashin.
Yeah, who also appears.
Now I have to watch it, because I do like Nabashin.
Yeah, and I found it kind of uncomfortable, because like people would like come up for a hug because they liked the character. And, you know, I bet it's totally different cosplaying today because we have all this cosplay is not consent stuff. I mean, no one would dream of, like, going up to a cosplayer and hugging them unless they knew them. I mean, it's just so different now. There's been so much publicity about that. So maybe I should cosplay again.
Oh, I got glomped when I was Kaito.
Oh.
I guess it's different for guys, though.
I think in Texas we're just not caught up with the times, because when I go to the local conventions here, I just see random hugging going on all the time, and like, oh hey, hug, I don't know you, you know. So it's we're backwards over here. It'll slowly move from east coast to west, I guess.
I mean, I'm not really complaining because I got glomped by this very attractive girl. So.
It was consensual.
So you gave consent.
I was like, this is kind of awkward, but not. Not a bad awkward, I guess.
All right, and with that, let's go ahead and move on, JP.
Yeah, thank you, Charles.
We'll go to the next section.
We are reaching the hour mark. It is coming quickly. So our next section that we're going to be moving into is listener mail. Listener mail. So we're just going to jump right in here. We have two questions today. Our first question is from Michael of GamingAndGod.com, very devoted commenter, especially last month or so, I'd say. His question is, are you seeing more anime manga, with a Christian or religious overtone, or are you seeing more demonic/witchcraft-related anime coming out? I can go ahead and give my response to this first, if you would like some time to think.
Go ahead, JP.
I think, first of all, it depends on how you want to define what you're saying exactly as far as demonic and witchcraft related. Because if you're talking about literal, like, magic witchcraft, I think I've seen really a change in that. I think witchcraft as a type of setting has been pretty consistently throughout anime, as well as plenty of other mediums. I'm assuming what you mean is anime with themes that could be defined as Christian or demonic, as in like anti-Christian, I assume. And then again, that kind of comes down to what's your definition of demonic. You'll have Christians that will claim there are literal creatures or demons, like spiritual creatures, that influence the world, and you'll have Christians who also claim that demons are kind of like figurative or literary device used to describe kind of the sinful nature of man. So I think in kind of the more liberal approach with saying that demons are more of a representation of the sinful nature of man or something along those lines. I'm not representing it very well. I don't think I've seen a whole lot of change. I think there's always been a lot of anime out there that has had a lot of really interesting, edifying themes, which you can read about on Beneath the Tangles. I mean, we've been gathering plenty of it, plenty of those themes from it. There are also plenty out there that have a lot of junk in them. But I don't think I'm really seeing a trend either way, as much as I'm seeing a trend towards people now intentionally taking those edifying themes, deriving them from anime. But that's kind of my take on things. Charles, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would probably largely agree with you. You know, as far as, you know, talking about Christian symbolism or things like that, I mean, the first series that I watched full through from episode 1 through 26 was Evangelion. So, I mean, for a long time, you've had Christian symbolism in anime. I don't think that's... I haven't seen that increase or decrease. If we're talking about demons or witchcraft, I don't know if this is a trend or if this is just something I'm noticing or if it's just because there's more anime available now. I think I'm seeing demons, you know, where you have, how do I explain this? So in the past you would have like people who were, and this same thing with Western media, I guess, where you have vampires or monsters. You have heroes that are part vampire, part human, part monster, part human. Nowadays, I see a lot of heroes and heroines that are part demon, part human, and they're fighting against the evil demons, maybe. I guess I'm thinking Blue Exorcist, for instance, as an example. So I'm seeing that more often, and I don't know if that's that's a trend or if that's just what's available to me or what I've seen. But, you know, I think that's an interesting interesting movement if it is a trend indeed. But otherwise, I don't see any other changes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point I hadn't terribly thought about. But go on, Lauren, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, I've seen a lot of Shinto themes lately, yes. Like where we're borrowing a lot from, traditional Japanese folklore, like with its eccentric family and Natsume's Book of Friends. And I mean, if you talk to some people, Kill la Kill, even. Yes. That all borrow from like the sun goddess Amaterasu and... You know, those myths.
Right.
You know,
sorry, Charles, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead, JP.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of agreeing with her, so.
Yeah, no, I think, I wonder if we might need to go to someone who's closer to the source, but I wonder if we're just more aware of this because now we can watch 30 series a season or whatever, or if the Japanese have always had, or for years have had anime that focuses on Shinto. I mean, we're not just talking about Shinto themes. We're talking about series that take place, you know, at temples, you know, that are all about the Shinto religion, you know, and it seems like multiple series each season dealing with it, which is really interesting. And it might just be the culture over here in America that's watching these shows, you know, so there's more talk about it going on where there's such an interest in Japan and all things Japan, including the religion. But yeah, definitely those shows are definitely at the forefront now, as opposed to being in the background or not at all in the past.
Well, I hope that answer suffices for you, Michael. And if not, feel free to email us again. Maybe we can talk about it some more on our next episode. In the interest of time, we're going to move on to our second question, which we'll try to quickly cover. We have a bit more time here. This question comes from Joseph, who's the writer medievalotaku.wordpress.com, another good friend of Beneath the Tangles. His question is, if you could have any European or American novel made into an anime series or movie, which would it be and why? Does somebody else want to take lead on this? I can answer first if you like.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my immediate issue with this question was I had to think of a European or American novel because I realized the last few years have not been kind to that genre, that area. I've pretty much been focusing a lot on Japanese content. My kind of immediate thought, though, was I'm always intrigued by anime that digs really deep into philosophy, theology, anything that makes you think, really. And I don't think we've seen a whole lot of that lately. Things like Serial Experiments Lane, Hibane Renmei, coincidentally, same artist, and I'm not sure what else Yoshitoshi Abe has done with Lane. But that said, the Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis, I've only read the first book of that, Out of the Silent Planet. But it's such an interesting series and a departure from a lot of fiction, especially science fiction, that we've had here in the West in the last, I'd say, 100 years or so. And probably, I would say, one of the deepest and best examples of actual Christian fiction literature. And that's not to say I love fiction in general. But I think there's been a severe lack of authors who have actually been able to kind of show Christian themes in a really interesting light that can derive some benefit for Christians obtaining from it, and then also just be just plain interesting to read for people who frankly don't care about Christianity or any of its beliefs at all. Now, having only read Out of the Silent Planet, I think it'd be really cool to see some sort of adaptation like that. Something that digs really deep, has a lot of imagery, kind of extended metaphors, what-if scenarios. Something like that, I think, would be really cool.
All right, well, I'll go next. I have a couple ideas. The one that that immediately jumps to mind, I guess if I like anything more than I like anime, the past couple of years it's been Song of Ice and Fire and the Game of Thrones TV series. Mm-hmm. And so just last week I saw a comic book rendering of Oberyn. Well, I won't ruin anything, but the fight between Oberyn and the mountain, which was a crazy moment when I was reading the books, and an even crazier moment when I was watching the series. But the comic book rendering was so vivid and really well done that made me think, man, I would love to see a manga based on this series. I think that would be amazing. As for an anime, I've always wanted to see Harry Potter done in anime style, I think maybe that has to do with my frustration at watching anime series that take place in magical schools. And I'll watch an episode, and I'm like, this is junk. I have no interest. Usually I watch 5 to 10 minutes of the first episode. I'm like, this is not what I want. What I want is, Gryffindor and Hermione. And, I want my American, or well, not even American, but, my Western version of what a magical school should be in my mind. So. And then I see a fan art of these characters drawn in anime style. I'm like, please give that to me, and it'll never happen. But that would just make my decade probably. Even if it was a bad series, I would still watch it. So, and I'm not, I don't know. I'm not like a huge crazy Harry Potter fan, but Harry Potter anime would just
fanboy much.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So that's it for me, Lauren.
Well, I immediately thought of like Gankutsuo, the Count of Monte Cristo anime, and just how that made such a great adaptation into anime. And that's such an old, fantastic book. And I was thinking, old books could really get this treatment. I was thinking about like how Wuthering Heights could be like some kind of like psychological horror, maybe. Pride and Prejudice would be the ultimate shoujo. Just think about it. By Jane Austen?
But if you did Wuthering Heights, it would be like Heathcliff-u. I mean, like, it might be a little bit troubling. But Pride and Prejudice, oh yeah, anything by her would be probably a really good transition to some shoujo manga, especially. Mm-hmm. Have any of you watched maybe you have, JP, I don't know, have watched Emma?
Okay.
But that's not based on the novel in any way, is it?
I don't know. Can I go on like a 30-second rabbit trail? Why? Hey, I'm the host. I can do what I want. we're probably gonna go a tiny bit over time. That's okay. I had my university band audition on alto sax today, actually, and believe it or not, my audition piece was the opening theme for Emma.
Nice. And how did it go?
Really well, actually. Got some compliments from the director. She was rather impressed, which is cool.
I googled it. No, Emma has nothing to do with Emma by Jane Austen.
But it is a Victorian romance, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
So they just took the name there and ran with it, and that's not a surprise. It looks pretty.
It
does. I mean, Jane Austen's Emma was a Regency romance, but... Yeah, history blurs together after a little while.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's what I think. I think we should start with the classics and move up from there.
No, that's really cool. Okay, well, we are definitely pushing it for time, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of The Tangles here. thank you so much for co-hosting this month's episode, Charles. And thanks again for your guest appearance, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been wonderful. I'm sure Charles agrees completely with that. And hopefully this won't be the last time. I mean, the plan is to continue this podcast on a monthly basis, and we'll be cycling out plenty of different guests. So it would be really exciting to possibly in the future revisit some of our other guests. That said, though, thanks to all of you who listened and make
Thank
this podcast
you.
What it is. Yeah. Be sure to check out Lauren's website, otakujournalist.com. And beneaththetangles.com if you'd like some more information on some of what we do and the articles that we write there. And otherwise, just have a wonderful month.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this month's episode of The Tangles. Be sure to check out our full site at beneaththetangles.com for more articles and analyses on the intersection of otaku culture and faith. If you would like to submit a question, send an email to thetangles@outlook.com. Also, be sure to follow our Twitter, @AnimeTangles, and like our Facebook page, Beneath the Tangles. Featured opening and closing songs are Japanese Dream by Duke Ellington's Orchestra and Blue Piano Stomp by Johnny Dodds, available in the public domain. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for The Tangles.